This podcast is brought to you by rachelcochrane.com. Stories and poems inspired by the Easington coastline. Written and read by the Easington writers.
Thoughts of the Sea by Terry Dobson. Sadness, blue as summer sky. Gentle sigh of the sea. Soothes the grieving mind. And lets the thoughts flow free. Mood black as nighttime shadow, whispering of the sea, exorcises the haunted mind and lets the thoughts flow free. Anger red as fresh spilled blood, cleansing waves of the sea, calms the raging mind and lets the thoughts flow free.
Beacon Hill by Mavis Farrell. Highest hill on Durham's coastline, teller of a thousand tales, beacon blazes out a warning, Viking ships, armada sails. Silver seas delight and sparkle, disguise the sound of sailors' cries. Many ships and men have perished, souls sing as seagulls in the skies. Weary farmers trudging homewards to Blue House and the Beacon Farms. Harvest is no time for leisure. They must fill the winter barns. Easter children rolling paste eggs down the slopes of Beacon Hill. New white socks from Nellie Morgan's. Can you hear their voices still? Backshift miners carry sea rods. Before their shift they fish the tide. Carrying cod and sometimes coley, sweet the gorse as home they stride. To the south the wheels are turning, descending men to feed the fires of industry, forever greedy. Noise and dust pollute the skies. Lovers laughing in the long grass, can you hear their voices still? Many of the population were conceived on Beacon Hill. The farms are gone, no Easter children, no lovers laugh, no pit wheels turn. The National Trust now own the hillside, no longer does the beacon burn.
Beach Banks by Terry Dobson. Early morning peaceful, rabbits graze, wary, watchful, a blur of stoat or weasel, too quick to tell. Sun shines, larks sing, nests in wild grasses and flowers, where once stood spoil heaps, tall, dark, barren, now green for miles. The land dips and rises, nature in control once more, building a beautiful landscape. North, over the fields and shrubs, lies Easington. Look, there's Beacon Hill. South I see Black Hall, Crimdon, Hartlepool and more. On the edge, looking down, the sea, calm today, is gentle as it tastes the pebbles on the beach.
Call the Coast Guard by Irene Stiles. The sea reflected the brooding greyness of the sky above. Waves crashed into the old harbour wall, exploding into plumes of white foam. Just above this cacophony of noise, could be heard the screaming of seabirds, soaring on the wind above, or resting on the crests of waves, going with the ebb and flow of the tide. At the end of the old pier sat a stooped, lonely figure, gazing out to sea with eyes that took in little of his surroundings. His gnarled hands grasped his knees as he rocked to and fro, as if in rhythm with the sea. His head was covered by a cloth cap, and he wore a suit of dark clothing that had seen better days. His shoes were worn and had no laces. Mucus dripped from his nose, tears streamed down his weathered cheeks, and cold wisps of air escaped like plumes from his mouth. Such a sad-looking mouth, such a sad-looking face. The figure sat there unaware of his discomfort, moving only occasionally to wipe the dripping snot and tears with his hand or sleeve. He was aware only of the thoughts going through his skull. God, what would he give to change them? He thought back to happier times, although those were few and far between. A time sitting on his mother's knee and knowing only an enveloping feeling of warmth and love. These happy moments coming only after his father had left them. That had certainly been no loss. He was a cruel man who lashed out at his mother and himself with fist or foot. No loss there. Flashes of his mother supporting them both, leaving their tiny stone cottage each morning before it was light to meet the fishing boats coming into harbour with their catch. He would help his mother fill her wicker baskets with shining, slippery fish, gasping and jumping through his tiny fingers. Then back to their cottage to sit outside and sell to any who had a penny to buy. Fish was their livelihood. A living of sorts had only just kept them clothed and fed. His job was to gut the fish and sell to passers-by, his upturned, pleading face catching the eye and heart of the local ladies' maids going about their work, returning home with fish for cook to prepare for masters and mistresses of the grand seafront houses. He stank of fish. Everything stank of fish, but it was a smell sweet to his nose. His mother left him daily to do his job in the knowledge that, tiny though he was, he could be trusted always to do his best. He was a good lad and a hard worker. This enabled her to visit the harbour-front houses to clean and do any odd job the housekeepers would give her. Sometimes she was given cast-off clothing that even the servants did not want, but to him and his mother this was treasure, and they rummaged eagerly through the bags, laughing and giggling at their good fortune. Sometimes it was a bag of bread and potatoes that no one else below stairs would eat, but it was such a change to them from fish, be it fried, smoked or boiled in stew. These new ingredients made a rare feast to savour. They felt lucky. Times were hard, but they had a living of sorts, food in their bellies, and above all else, they had each other. The man on the pier straightened his back, threw back his head and screamed aloud, "Mother, mother, help me, please." Then his head bowed and his body slumped. His arms circled his knees and he rocked as before. He had never left her. As he grew, he stayed with her. He had become her protector and carer and had never taken a wife. Those delights, or not, were unknown to him. Now his reason for living was gone. She had gone. She had left him. Not her fault. She was frail and ill. The years of hardship had taken their toll, and now the good Lord had taken her. But God, I miss her so much. Another scream formed on his lips. It stopped in his throat, and he whispered, "What am I to do without her?" The waves continued to ebb and flow. The birds continued to circle, dive and squawk. Everything went on as normal around him. The old pier stood, rocking slightly with the surf. But now it was empty, bereft of its lonely figure. Several days later, the morning brought blue skies and a calm sea. Waves rolled in and out gently to the shore of the little beach. It was 1 mile further down the coast from the harbour. People on this strip of golden sand were rushing to the water's edge, their mouths forming unheard words, their bodies bent, splashing into the surf, their arms catching and dragging a body from the waves. The band of men struggled up onto the sand with their burden. They lay him flat and, gasping for breath, looked down at the man in a dark, sodden suit. There were no shoes on his feet. The body was white and bloated. The sea had done its work. He was unrecognisable. His features had been eaten away by fish and crabs, except they noticed that parts of the fleshy lips remained strangely curved upwards in the shape of a smile, and grasped tightly in his hand was a small shimmering fish. "God, that's awful," exclaimed one of the men. A second man looked up and said, "There's nought we can do for him now. I'll call the coast guard and tell him of our beach find. God rest his soul."